Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our radio broadcast for this Saturday, April the 18th, and Sunday, April the 19th. It is a great joy to be with you today. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and we come this your way every weekend. Some of you get this on Saturday, some of you get it on Sunday. And God has blessed the 30-minute radio broadcast. And some of these stations we have been on for years, and I thank the Lord for it. I praise God for the open door that He's given me to go on radio to preach the Word of the Lord. I've dedicated my life to God. I was saved at 11 years old. The Lord called me to preach when I was 18 years old. I've been in radio since I was 19 years old. I got into radio as putting together a preaching broadcast. And then when I was 20 years old, I got into radio as an announcer. And the Lord has blessed our ministry now. We own and operate 3 radio stations ourselves, and they're all Christian. And you can listen to those, by the way. I can give you the app. You can download the app on your iPhone or your Android. It's GBI Radio, GBI Radio. And you can download that and you can listen. We have an all-preaching station there that just broadcasts sermons all the time. It's on the internet only. But then we have our broadcast stations that you can get, WYZD out of Dobson, North Carolina, and WCOK out of Sparta, North Carolina. Let me just say again this week that we are continuing our Reaching America project. We've got just a week or two left in this as far as raising money on the radio for it. We're trying to raise this month about $3,100 so that we can go on to Tucson, Arizona, and get on the radio there. That door's open to us. And let me just say that what we're asking is 1,000 listeners, and this could be a church too as well, but 1,000 listeners to give $10 a month for the next year. Maybe somebody could give $1,000. Maybe somebody could give $100,000 to the radio ministry. And I will take stations on. I've got opportunities to take stations. I've got more stations than I got money to go on, so I will do that. Now, I will not take stations on without the money to pay for them, nor will I come on this radio broadcast every week and beg you for money. I don't do that. Will not do that. This is a special project called Reaching America with the Gospel. And Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto them that believeth, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And the devil didn't want me to quote that right. Amen. Well, let me say to you, if you'd like to write me this week, make the check to GBI if you're going to do the Reaching America. And by the way, you don't have to give anything just to write me. Amen. I'd love to hear from you. But our mailing address is GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Our Father, I pray as we go back into this Word of the Lord today that you'll help us and bless us, dear God, in this hour. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Now we're going to finish as much as we can of this message. It's R453-39, and we're preaching on Psalm 59. I hope it'll be a blessing as we go to it at this time. May not be. In other words, that their effectiveness be took away. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob under the ends of the earth, Selah. You know what? There's some people need to know that God's on the throne. And when God judges you, you'll know God rules. Now there's some men, they've just got too big for themselves. There are some preachers that way. And I mean, they think that they're God's gift to America and that they can manipulate anybody, ruin anybody, do anything they want to do. Well, I tell you, God bring that crowd down one of these days. And when God shows you He's on the throne, it ain't about you, it's about God. It ain't about me. It ain't about what I leave behind. It ain't about my ministry. It ain't about my the memories of my. It's all about Jesus Christ. We Baptists have made us Baptist preachers have made the ministry all about us. And the ministry is not about me. You can lose Ricky Cawthorn today. You've lost about 88 cents. That's about how much the human body's worth. It'll cost $10,000 to bury it, but it's about worth 88 cents. You've not lost much. But let me tell you something, it ought to be about Jesus Christ. Our churches ought to be about Jesus. Our revival meetings, our Bible conferences, they ought to be about Jesus Christ, not about some man. We've got people divided today. People say, well, this preacher said this, and that preacher said that, and I follow this guy, and I follow that guy. Follow Jesus. Amen. Now, you can follow a man, but worship Jesus. Amen. And you can listen to a man preach, but don't get so enthralled with that man that you think just whatever he says goes. Men make mistakes. Every preacher is going to be off on something. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, when you get the judgment seat, you'll find out. We've all got something God's going to straighten us out about. There's no preacher perfect. Now, if a preacher wasn't off on something, all preachers would be perfect. Preachers ain't perfect. Amen. But I know people that, well, my pastor said this. My pastor said, well, okay. But if it ain't in the Bible, it ain't worth the page it's written on or the words that came out of his mouth. Amen. I'm not saying not follow your pastor. I'm not saying be disobedient to your preacher. You understand that. But I'm just simply telling you that we elevate men to a level. Now, here in Saul's day, Saul thought that he was elevated to such a level that he just, and by the way, he knew David was going to be king. The prophet Samuel told him, I'm going to rend the kingdom out of your hand, give it to a neighbor of thine. Saul knew, but yet Saul tried to fight the God of heaven. Can I tell you something? When you're trying to fight the man of God and the church of God and the people of God, you know who you're really fighting? You're fighting God. And if you want to take God on in a fight, you go ahead. But I'll tell you one thing, you're going to get whipped. Amen. You take God any day you want to, take him on. But God's going to whip you. Amen. You know, there have been people took this ministry on. You know why they came out and lose the end of the stick? They didn't take me on. Well, we'll sink old Catherine. Why, we'll grab the reins of that thing. Let me say this to you. You're fighting God, not me. Amen. I don't argue letters in the mail if I get them. I don't argue doctrine. I just throw them in the trash can. Listen, brother, I preach the Bible, and I love everybody. I love every preacher. I've got a list of preachers I pray for all the time. And what I'm trying to say, David had a bunch of enemies here, but David just went about his business. Amen. David said, Lord, said you do something with them. And said, let them know that you rule. And then he added the word Selah. That's a meditating word. It's a musical pause. And David said, just stop and think about that. God's the one that rules. Somebody said, well, my enemies are going to take me down. No, they ain't. If you're in God, they're going to be all right. If you're walking with God, everything's going to be good. They're not going to take you down. They can't ruin you. Amen. If God's in it. The thing that matters is God in what you're doing? Amen. If God's in what you're doing, that's all right. Well, I believe it was Dr. Sattler said, to find God's will is life's greatest treasure. The day you find what God wants you to do is life's greatest treasure. And then to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. You know what? I'm in the will of God. And I don't know what all God's going to let me do before I die. He may not let me do anything else, but I know I'm in the will of God preaching on this radio right now. I know I'm in the will of God. Wherever you're hearing me, I'm preaching right now. And I preach to thousands of people every week of my life. I'm not bragging about that. That ain't got nothing to do with Ricky Cawthon. It's Jesus Christ. I want to preach Jesus Christ to the people, not Ricky Catherine. It's not about me. And I'm afraid over the years I've made it more about me than I should have. Amen. I'm afraid I put myself in there more than I should have. I'm being honest with all of us preachers have. I tell you, we're the hero of every illustration. We're going down the wrong track, ain't we? But listen, here's David. David had a problem here, but David said, let them know God rules. And I think it's about time that God lets some people know he's on the throne. Amen. And God will. Amen. Now, let's go. Verse number 14, Psalm 59:14. The Bible said, and at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let's just read verse 15 with it. Let them wander up and down, the Bible said, for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. Now, What he's saying here is this, in these verses. Now, he said previously in this psalm that they go up and down at evening, and they belch like a dog. They just go up and down belching out stuff. And now David's saying, turn the tables on them. Let them go up and down at evening. Let them try to find something wrong. You see, my job is to live as close to God as I can. And then if I've got enemies, let them go up and down. Let them wander and let them try to find something. Amen. And when they can't find nothing on you, they'll give up. You see, there are people right now, they're just sitting waiting on other people to fall. Well, I knew he's going to do it. I didn't know when, but I knew he's going to do it. I knew he'd do it one of these days. You know what? People like that never do anything for the Lord. And Saul had some men. I don't know if they were saved or lost, but they sure were in a mess. Amen. And they were David's enemies. And David said, let them go around about the city. Let them go. They're going to come back in the evening. David knew this at his house. David knew they was there ready to take his life. David knew that. And Michal, for some reason, loved David. And she protected David at that time. And really, in a way, risked her own life. Of course, I don't think Saul's going to do anything to her. But she, in a sense, risked her own life for David. But these men were going around about the city, and they were trying to find occasion against David. David's a young man. David didn't have anything wrong with him. David loved the Lord. David was out there on the hills when his brethren were doing something else. David was serving the Lord. We studied the Psalm 19. That was written in David's young days. We studied Psalm 139. What a marvelous psalm written in David's young days. And now we're studying Psalm 59, written in David's young days. And what you find is a young man that's relying on the Word of God. You find a young man that's relying on the Holy Ghost of God. You find a young man that's relying in the power of God. You find a young man that's relying in the presence of God. I mean, you just find a young man that's trusting the Lord here. I mean, he's in tune with God. And that's the only way David made it in those days. Now, David got away from God in his latter years. But here in the early days of David, you find a man that loved the Lord. Now, I'll ask you young people something, amen. In your early days, are you finding somebody that loves the Lord? You say, preacher, I'm half in church and half out. And I'll tell you, young people, you can sow those oats, but you'll reap them. Not too long ago, I put some onions in the ground. You know what I did yesterday? I went out there, amen, and those onions were up. I reaped onions, amen. Now, I'm going to say this to you. You sow what you're going to reap what you sow. And if you're half in church at 16, 17-year-old, you're going to reap that. You're going to get married out of the will of God. You'll have some children. They won't be raised properly. I'll tell you what's wrong with our young generation. They all want to be the victim. They all want to be casualties of their peers, casualties of peer pressure, casualties of so much out there. Let me tell you something. You need to stop that stuff, young people, and I'm going to be point blank with you. At 15-year-old, if you're saved, you need to live for Jesus Christ. And don't come to me with, well, all young people ain't as strong-willed as you are. It don't take a strong will. It takes living for God. It takes getting grace down your soul and saying, God, I'm going to go with the Bible. When my friends drink the wine, I'm going to go with the Bible. When they smoke the dope, I'm going with the Bible. When they go to the dance, I'm going with the Bible. When they do immoral activities, I'm going to stay with the Bible. When they marry somebody out of church, I'm going to stay with the Bible. Young lady, you going to stay with the Bible? Young man, you going to stay with the Bible? You're going to stay. Listen, are you going to be a casualty? Are you going to be a half in, half out? No. Won't you live your life for God? I challenge some of you young people. It'd be amazing what God. Now, David, here God's going to take him all the way to the palace. But I'll tell you what. If David had been the average young person, God wouldn't have took him all the way to the palace. If David had been the average young person, he would have fell in line with the men of Saul. And he wouldn't even assault the kingdom. He just said, well, I fall in line with the young people of my day. No, David wasn't even like his brothers. You say, well, preacher, you mean if I'm young, I'm going to have to be different? Yeah. You remember a man in the Bible named Daniel? You know, Daniel is a sad story in the Bible. Now, you think Daniel's a hero, and Daniel is a hero, but think about Daniel's life for a minute. Daniel is a young man. Jerusalem is wicked as the devil, about like America, just wicked as the devil. I mean, they're shedding blood in Jerusalem, committing adultery, sacrificing to idols, burning their kids in the fire. I mean, they're wicked as the devil. And God sent old Jeremiah over there, and they didn't pay Jeremiah no attention. And God really sent three prophets. God sent Jeremiah. He was more or less the prophet to the poor people. Ezekiel was the prophet to the middle-class people, and then Daniel was the prophet. Daniel, God used him to prophesy to the rich people and the kings. But Daniel is carried away into Babylon. Daniel is of the seed of Hezekiah. Now, whether Daniel was forced into it or whether Daniel did it of his own will, he was a eunuch. And so Daniel would never have a family. And Daniel was forced into captivity, took hundreds of miles away from home. And Daniel's sitting down there, and they said, all right, we're going to nurse you with a portion of the king's meat. Now, no doubt Daniel's a Jew, and no doubt they're going to feed him pork chops or some kind of pork meat, hog meat. They're going to feed him something that's an abomination. And Daniel requested, now notice what he did. He requested very nicely, very kindly. He requested, he said, can I not do that? Just feed me poles and water. Give me vegetables and water. Will you do that? For 10 days, and 10's the number of testimony. Said, give me that for 10 days, and let's see how we do then. And brother, in 10 days, him and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were fairer looking than the, than the other ones, and Daniel won favor right there. Now, I'm going to tell you what Daniel did. He was different than all the young people. And by the way, Daniel had sorrow. He got took away from his mom and daddy. He got took away from his homeland. Got took away from his heritage. Oh, you say, well, preacher, he did. Are you going to feel sorry for Daniel? What are you going to say about Daniel? Oh, but our young people, they just can't serve God under the pressure today. Why? God knew before the beginning of time He put you where you are. But preacher, our young people, our young people ought to be different. You young girls shouldn't watch rock stars. You shouldn't sing after the rock stars. No. You young boys shouldn't pattern your life after rock stars. No. Pattern your life after Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, but now, preacher, that's old-fashioned. You're wrong. That's Bible. You see, we're to stand in the Bible. By the way, I find a lot of young people's going to respect and love me for telling them the truth. I couldn't name you how many young children have my name in their Bible. They want me to sign their Bible. You young people, I'm going to tell you what you do. You young boys, seek preaching. Seek the ministry. Seek doing something for God. You young girls, seek to be a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife. Seek God. Lay down material blessings. They don't mean nothing. This whole world's going to pass away. You say, preacher, I'm going to live to have a good retirement. Well, America's going. You ain't going to get there anyway, so don't worry about it. We ain't going to have a nation time you get ready to retire if somebody don't get revival. You young people, I don't know why I'm on this, but you young people seek God. David's a young man, and David seek God. And David said, I want them to know that God rules. Amen. And then and I want them to know that God's on the throne. Amen. That God rules. But he said, let these enemies go around. Let them go around the city. Let them try to find something on me. Amen. And by the way, you young people ought to live a life where they can't find nothing on you but God. They said, well, that young girl right there is of God. You said, preacher, I have to go to the public school. Live for God in the public school. I went to public school. And yes, they taught way back in the beginning of time. I don't know exactly when. I was a tadpole when I began to begin. And then I became a frog with my tail tucked in. And then I was a monkey in a coconut tree. And I swung too high and my tail broke off. And I hit the ground, became a man with a PhD. They taught that stuff in school. They had their dances in school. I didn't go to their dances, and I didn't believe their evolution. Amen. That's right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And, amen. Same verse, and the full and the world and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen. There wasn't no 5 billion years between those verses. Let's just preach the Bible the way it is. You say, preacher, I just don't understand. Oh, well, I don't need some man to try to come up with some theory about what he thought it was. I mean, some of us, amen, we just need to preach the Bible for what it is. Our young people need to know the Bible. You need to know that God's on the throne. David knew one thing. He knew God made the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky. David knew that. David was the only. God, give us some young ladies who will make a turn for God in this day. God, give us some young men that'll turn and say, I'm going to preach the gospel in this day. You say, I want a career. Well, let me tell you something, boys. Why don't you be God's man? Why don't you get God's message? Young lady, why don't you be a good, godly wife? Amen. You want to your desire ought to be to raise children, have a family. Amen. And stay at home and live for God. That's what you ought to have, that desire. You know, all women don't get to do that, but that ought to be the desire. My friend, let me tell you something. Young people are very important. And I tell you what we're failing in our churches is we're trying to raise a generation apart from what church really is. Young people ought to sing the same songs old people sing. Young people ought to have the same dress standards old people have. Young people ought to come to all the services just like the old people come to. Amen, that's right. But see, we divide people in the church. We put an old group here and a young group there and this group there and that group there. Why don't we just preach to everybody? Why, listen, we done far better when we was preaching to everybody and not divide them up. You see, our young people today in our society is like this. Well, that's for the old folk. That's the old folk. They're old-fashioned. They don't know what they're doing. They're about half out of their mind. They lost half their teeth and half their mind. No. Amen. I still got my full mind, and I got me a full set of teeth. They might be fake, but they're full set. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something. I'm not lost my mind. I believe the same things I believed 40 years ago. And I believe that we ought to get back to that. Amen. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Helping people. Amen. And young people ought to take a stand for God. If you're in the church. Now, I'm not talking about being a bunch of Pharisees. Not talking about being better than anybody else. But I'll tell you young people something. When's the last time you fasted and prayed, young people? Young people, when's the last time you prayed about the girl you're going to marry, the boy you're going to marry? Oh, you let some deacon's wife match you up in the church. That's going to backfire in your face one of these days. You're going to wish you'd never seen that girl. You're going to wish you'd never seen that boy. And you're probably going to wish you'd never met that deacon's wife either. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching good. Amen. It's just good for you. Amen. I love you. How many of y'all believe I love you? Raise your hand. There you go. Yeah, you don't have to half raise it. Go ahead and put it up there. I love you. I love you, young people. You say, boy, you don't love our young people. Sir, ma'am, if I didn't love young people, I wouldn't preach the way I'm preaching. You young people tune in. You know, I got little kids listening to me. Boys grow up and be boys. Girls grow up and be girls. Love God. David did. Amen. Now look what David said in verse 16. Psalm 59, verse 16, he said, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Amen. Now, let's just go ahead and read verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Now let me go back. I'm gonna go back and give you these last two verses, and then we're done with this message and with this psalm. All right, look at verse 16 again. He said, but I will sing of thy power. Now wait a minute, get the picture again. The men of Saul is around David's house to take him. They're gonna kill him. And David's in there and he's thinking, how am I gonna get out of here? But you know what David's doing? He's not panicking. He didn't take a handful of nerpes. He said, in the morning I'm gonna sing. Well, who told him he'd be alive in the morning? God. God had already anointed him back over there. The old prophet laid his hands on him, anointed him to be king. He wasn't going anywhere. And God had anointed old brother David, young man, to be the king. And David knew he was going to be the king. And David wasn't worried about that thing. I wish some of us would live by faith. Oh, friend, we're living in the weakest generation you ever seen in your life, and including Ricky Cochran. Things happen and we panic and all we worry about. And I do. I ain't going to lie about it. I do, and God help me with that. I want to be a better man. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a man that believes God. I want to be a man when God says it, he don't have to tell me twice. Amen. Just, if it's right there in that Bible, I'm going to believe it. I believe that Moses and the children of Israel walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. I believe that God created the heaven and the earth in six literal days. Amen. I believe God took a real bite of Adam and made him a wife. I believe there was a man named Noah built an ark, and I believe him and his family got in there, and there's only one saved. I believe that Daniel lay down in the den of lions. Amen. And was there all night long. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and went to the bottoms of the ocean. But I'll tell you this, if the Bible had said the whale swallowed Jonah, I'd have believed that too. Amen. There comes a time, listen, we believe the commentary now over the Bible. Throw the commentary back. Put it aside. Believe the Bible. Take every word in the Bible. Every word in this King James Bible. Look your words up in English and find out what they mean. You say, well, preacher, I'm intellectually more smarter than that. I just look them up in the Greek. And there's nothing wrong with looking things up in the Greek, but I'm going to tell you, use your English. Use your Bible. Look at your Bible. I believe every word in the Bible. If you can't take every word in the Bible literally, then you need to throw it in the trash can. Because your salvation ain't true. If I can't take every word literally in the Bible, how can I take for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? You say, well, preacher, that don't mean that. It means something else. Well, okay. If it don't mean that, then I'm not saved, right? It's a funny thing to me that preachers take literal what they want to, and then other stuff they don't take literal. Take the Bible literal, word by word by word. I believe every word in the Bible. Somebody said there's over 700,000 words in the book. I believe every one of them. And brother, this Bible, God had told David he's going to be king. David said, I'll sing in the morning. He said, I'll sing of thy power. David knew God. He didn't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Amen. Sometimes you may not know, preacher, how God's going to deliver you, but God's going to do it. Amen. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. David said, in the morning. David's going to be somewhere in the morning. He's going to be running from Saul. But he said, in the morning, I'm going to sing aloud. I don't believe he is quiet. He might have sung, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. He might have sung, unto thee, O God, do I lift up my soul? I don't know what he sung. I don't know. Amen. He might have sung a new song you ain't never heard a tune before. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You say, preacher, I never heard that before. I ain't neither. I just sung it to you. I've never heard it before either. But I'm just saying to you, I don't know what he sung, but he said, I'm going to sing it loud in the morning. Everything's going to be all right in the morning. Boy, you can get a good message right there, preachers, in the morning. Morning's coming. I never forget, a dear preacher told a story one time. He told this story. He said, my wife was in the hospital. She was very, very sick. This preacher had battled a lot of major sicknesses. She's in heaven now. He's still preaching. She's in heaven. And his daddy was over there in the same hospital. His daddy was there. And he said, and also his daughter-in-law was there, and she's getting ready to have a baby. Had three family members in the hospital at the same time. He said, I was so tired. He said, I went home on that night. He said, I it was wintertime. He said, I went home, laid down on my bed, went to sleep, and said, I woke up several hours later. My phone was ringing. And he said, the hospital called me, and I don't know which one of them it was, but one of them, he said, you better get back down here. He said, they've took a turn for the worse. You need to get down here. He said, I realized I'd went to sleep and left every door in my house open, unlocked, just left it on. He said, I was so tired and exhausted. He said, I got up and went back down to that hospital. He said, I walked outside about 5 o'clock in the morning, and he said, there's a little robin jumped up on the fence post and began to chirp, just all by itself, nothing else out there. And he said, I was so down discouraged, I thought, you dumb robin. What have you got to chirp about at 5 o'clock in the morning on this fence post? While you're sitting there chirping, all the other birds are asleep, and you're dumb. You just get out here ahead of them and just chirp. What have you got to chirp about? And he said, the Holy Ghost said to me, hey, that bird knows something you don't know. And the preacher said, I began to think, what does that bird know that I don't know? And the Holy Spirit said, he knows morning's coming. Glory to God. Let me tell you one thing. God will send just a Bible verse by, a chirping to you. Sometimes God will send a preacher by. Hey, but morning's coming, friend. You say, preacher, I've got cancer. It don't look like there's no way out for me. Oh, but morning's coming, friend. You may have to lay down on that bed. You may have to, they may pump the medicine in you to keep the pain out. You may go in a coma. But I promise you one day your heart's going to stop. And morning's coming. You're going to be standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you may go to the doctor and be healed of that cancer. And morning's coming. You say, preacher, I'm a pastor. And I'm going through a great trial in my life, in my church. People don't like me. Deacons don't like me. Hey, preacher, I got news for you. You and your wife, preacher's wife, they go through a lot too. Morning's coming, friend. You just wells get excited. Morning's coming. Amen. Oh, you see, preacher, I'm a young person. Well, I'm going through a battle. My boyfriend, he broke up with me. He won't talk to me anymore. Maybe that wasn't the one for you. Oh, but let me tell you something, young person. Morning's coming. You'll meet another one day, and he'll be 10 times better. Maybe you've met a young lady, and she's broke your heart. Oh, but morning will come, friend. You think, don't you get no gun to go kill yourself. That's the wrong thing to do. Why, ain't no boy or girl worth you killing yourself over. No, you just wait and God send you nothing. Amen. Don't you worry about that. Oh, you say, preacher, that's plain preaching. It's good preaching. It's good for you anyway. Amen. I'm just telling you, morning's coming. Praise God, morning's coming. Amen. He said, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. He said, for thou hast been my defense. All the way God's been my defense and my refuge in the day of my trouble. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, April 18th, Sunday, April the 19th. It's been a great joy to be with you. I'd love to hear from you and know where you're listening to us from. If you'd write us a letter, please include the call letters of the station of which you're listening to. All right? God bless you. Until next week is our prayer. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to The Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together. All the time.
He who fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine, to the hungry.